Good morning.
Good morning.
I want you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Thanks for being here today, and I know we've got numerous people watching online who aren't able to be with us today because of still coronavirus and the vulnerabilities in their home. So I just want to say welcome. Welcome to Grace Church. And I invite you to listen in to the word of the Lord for us today from Acts chapter 20. If you've read much of the New Testament or are familiar with the life of the Apostle Paul in his ministry, you'll know that the Apostle Paul was on a mission. On a mission. It was a mission he said he'd received from the Lord. We're going to see that in the text today. He received this from the Lord. It's not something he went and chose for himself. He received it. It was an assignment from the Lord, a calling, a purpose. As I said, an assignment from the King that he was compelled to fulfill and to complete. And truth is, if you read the book of Acts, you know that nothing could stop him. I mean, he had faced many, many obstacles, enemies, dangers, discouragements, deep discouragements. But he was unstoppable. And we find him here in Acts chapter 20, at a point many years into his multiple missions trips throughout Asia Minor, what we would consider today to be Eastern Europe, and some in pushing into Western Europe, we believe he did before he died. But we find him here at a point many, many years into his mission trips, and he's visiting with the elders from the church at Ephesus. Okay, now, he has been spreading the gospel and starting churches and pastoring people for years at this point in his life. And he's had a long relationship with the church at Ephesus, a long one. But it's been a while since he's seen them because he's been out planting other churches. You remember he'd even written a letter of, we call it the Book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians church. He wrote that letter to them while he was sitting in a prison in Rome, thinking about them, still shepherding them, pastoring them, loving them. And now he's out of jail, he's done other things, and he's on his way back east to Jerusalem, sailing through the Mediterranean Sea, stopping at different ports. And on the way back, he stops at a coastal city called Miletus. And he asks the elders from the church at Ephesus to meet him at Miletus, at the coastal city. And what he wants to do before he goes to Jerusalem is he wants to encourage them, and he wants to see them one last time. And here are a few things he wants to say to them. And there's just a few points I want to draw out in terms of nothing held back. Here's the first thing he says. He says, I've held nothing back from you. So join me in verse 18. Acts 20, verse 18 through 21. Listen how he says, I've held nothing back from you. And when the elders came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and in private from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, from day one, I was with you totally, laying my life on the line for you, serving the Lord Jesus no matter what. I held nothing back from you. Nothing, not even opposition, deterred me from pouring out my life to lead you into the life of God and into a life of faith in Jesus. I gave you my time. I gave you my attention, my heart, my love. And I did this out in the open, and I did it in your homes. I did it in the church, and I did it privately with you. Continually teaching you and showing you the way of salvation that's found in Jesus. I gave you my heart. I invested my life. Together we attempted great things, and we endured hard things. I held nothing back from you. And then he says, secondly, this, I've held nothing back from God. I've held nothing back from God. Now go to verse 22. He says, and now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit to do so, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and, here it is, the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus, which was to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. And he's saying to them, all along I've been on a mission to spread the good news. So I am so compelled, he says, by what God called me to do, that I even put up with no end of scheming by the enemies of the gospel who wanted to put an end to me. He says, but I didn't hold back anything from the Lord who called me to this. I've never cared for what this meant to my own life. In other words, I don't have to survive this. I can die, but this is my mission. And I've never cared about what this meant for my future, he says. Only what God's called me to do today. And all that matters, Paul is saying to me, is that I fulfill the ministry God gave me. And so I'm headed to Jerusalem. I'm headed to Jerusalem to tell them the good news. And then he says, third, I've held nothing back from the Bible. I've held nothing back from the Bible. Look at verse 26. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. In other words, while I was with you, I taught you the Scriptures thoroughly. Thoroughly. I gave you every truth in the Bible. And I gave you every encouragement that could have made a difference. Every encouragement that could have made a difference, you got it. I taught you in public, preaching the Bible to you faithfully. I've discipled and mentored you and counseled you privately, urging you to trust the Lord Jesus and to follow the Lord Jesus with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and then showing you how to do it by my own example. And he says, in all this, God has held nothing back from us. And that's the fourth thing I want you to see here. God has held nothing back from us. Watch what he says in verse 28. He's telling the elders, guys, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. And watch this. Here's how God's held nothing back, which he obtained with his own blood. You know what he's saying? He's saying this church, the church, all the churches belong to Jesus. Not to me, not to you. They belong to Jesus. He's the one who purchased this church with his own blood. He held nothing back from us. And I'll tell you, that perspective is what shaped Paul's entire outlook on what he was doing and why he was doing it. And we as his people, we serve him at his pleasure and for his glory. You know, as a pastor, those are the kinds of things you read, and you pray, and you want to do yourself at the church where you serve, so that when you see the Lord Jesus, you can hear him say, "Well done. Those things were true of you too." But then Paul says them, tells them this. He says, "I'm headed to Jerusalem. I'm headed to Jerusalem." He says, "I know this is a huge step of faith because I don't know what'll happen when I get there." But then he says, "It doesn't matter. All that matters is that I finish what God started, that I finish the job the Lord gave me to do of telling people about the good news of the grace of God." That's why Paul was always on the move, starting church after church after church, always teaching new people the Word of God. He was a man on a mission, fulfilling his God-given assignment in God's kingdom. And I can identify with Paul's sense of mission and assignment from the Lord and his words here to the Ephesian elders. I look back and I remember becoming the pastor of Grace Church in May of 2001. And it was a huge step of faith to found a new church start with a few families, to become the first pastor, a church that was meeting in a hotel, in a hotel conference room with no staff, no land, no facility, really no budget. It was a huge step of faith. And after 19 years, we now come to another time in our life where we're also being led to take a huge step of faith. I have talked to the elders and let them know that just as clearly as the Lord brought us here to Grace Church 19 years ago, it's become clear to Amanda and I that the Lord is now taking us back to Texas to serve in there. So I come to you today to tell you that my last Sunday here at Grace will be July 12. And beginning the first Sunday of August, I will begin pastoring the First Baptist Church of Prosper, Texas, which is just north of Dallas, about 45 minutes. And I can only imagine that this may be as difficult for you to hear as I can tell you it is for me to say it, especially to say it to you. This is not a decision that has been arrived at easily or quickly. So I think I owe it to you to fill you in a little bit on the process of how this came about, how this has come about. Let me first of all say there's no issue, there's no problem that we're trying to escape. There's none of that. I will tell you that about a year and a half ago, maybe a little longer, I felt that the Lord might be stirring my heart about returning to Texas. And the more I felt that, the more I felt I needed to really pray about it, to see God's face, to try to see if this was just me, or if this was the Lord maybe doing this, and I needed to pray to get clarity, to discern what God might be leading us to do. And over the subsequent weeks and months, I began to get some counsel from other pastors that I trust. And as time went by, slowly, we continued to pray, and the stirring to return to Texas just kept growing. We prayed, "Lord, if it's not from you, make it go away, go away." Circumstantially, at the same time that this was happening in our hearts within, our kids were all moving out and starting their own lives as adults. Amanda was getting her degrees and starting her work as a math teacher. And of course, much of our family is in Texas. Not all, but much. Those were all considerations that were part of the process of praying and discerning God's guidance about the next season of our lives. And now, after a lot of prayer and a lot of conversations and waiting and struggling, we believe that the Lord has opened the door, that He is calling us, that is His calling and purpose for us for the next chapter of our lives. And I want you to know, oh, how I want you to know, how deeply, deeply thankful to the Lord I am for you, for you, for this church. That for 19 years of serving the Lord together with you here, I am thankful. I am so thankful for what God has done and what He is doing in this church. It has been a wonderful privilege. I am so thankful you've let me be your pastor for 19 years. It is hard for Amanda and I really to express the depth of gratitude we have for all of you. We love you so much. Listen, there couldn't be a more loving and supporting congregation of their pastor than you have been to me. We are so blessed. So blessed. You have loved us and prayed for us, and you have served us and supported us through the best and through the hardest times of our lives. And we love you for it. Your love has never been taken for granted, never. I can say that because I've been where I've not been loved before. And your love for us will never be forgotten. It is a treasure that we will cherish until we see the Lord and after. We know that it's been the Lord working through you to minister to us as much as we've ministered to you. And now we know the Lord is calling us to step out in faith and follow His leading to serve Him in Prosper, Texas. And I will tell you that this has been a deep struggle within our hearts. Deep. The thought of our time here coming to an end and saying goodbye to you has been more than we could bear at times, especially this weekend. There have been many, many tears and talks and prayer and struggle, struggling to let go and struggling to let God do whatever He wanted to do with us and whatever He wanted to do with Grace Church. It's been hard to let go. And it's been a struggle coming to the recognition that ultimately every pastor is an interim pastor called for a season to shepherd the church to follow Christ for a season. And I'm so thankful to have gotten the privilege of being the founding pastor and serving here for this season of the ministry of Grace Church. I will tell you that I am eager to see and know what God is going to accomplish in this church and through this church in the future, in the next season of ministry here. I know that God will provide another pastor here to carry the church ahead to what I pray are even greater days than what we've been able to experience together. Listen, I didn't start this church. God did. This is His church. It's not mine. And God is faithful. And He will continue working. He will continue to working to complete the work He's begun here. He began this, and He will complete it. I don't believe God's finished yet. There's much, much more to do, church. More people to win to Christ, more people to disciple, more people to train up for the work of the ministry. And the elders have already begun talking and working and praying about discovering what's next for Grace Church. Discovering the man God has prepared to be your next pastor. And I have no doubt in my heart that God has a plan and a purpose and a future for you as a church. And I just want to ask you to pray for your elders who've been my elders. Pray for them as they begin that work of discerning God's guidance. They need your prayers. And that's the best way to prepare for what's next. Pray for God's provision. Pray for God's guidance. And I want to say it again because I really want you to know that Amanda and I love you. We love you. We love how this church has been a loving family to us. We love how this church has loved Jesus so well. How this church has been, you have been so hungry for Jesus and for God's word. You can't know how much that is a blessing. And you have been so devoted to selflessly and tirelessly serving one another and serving us. It's been tireless. And also how you've reached your arms around the world to serve the churches of other nations like Bhutan and India and Scotland and other places. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. It's been a precious privilege that I will cherish all the way to heaven. Can I say it again? And Amanda and I love you. And we pray that God, the God who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you what Paul said to them before I'm done. This is the fifth thing. May God hold nothing back from you. Look at verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Yes, for you. And when Paul said those words, this is what happened. They held nothing back from each other. Verse 36. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. He prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Let's pray. Father, how we need your grace right now. Mercy from heaven. I want to thank you in this moment for the 19 years of getting to be the privilege of pastoring these sweet, precious friends. Thank you for the privilege of letting me preach the Bible and teach and counsel and love and pray and be loved and taught and encouraged and having you administered to by these, my brothers and sisters. I pray you would give us grace today to accept your plan and your purpose for our lives. And I pray that you would prepare this congregation and the man that would be the next pastor to come together with a joyful union to serve you, Lord Jesus, in the next season of this church's ministry and life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I entrust this congregation to your care, which belongs to you to begin with. You bought it with your blood. And I ask you, Father, that in the remaining weeks that we're here, that you would give us sweet fellowship. And may your work here flourish and prosper and increase to the glory of Jesus Christ in the church, not only for this season, but for the next and the next and the next. In Jesus' name, amen.